where we spent a whole day in Petra, Jordan. If you're not familiar with Petra, it's a huge ancient city that was carved out of rose-colored desert mountains over 2,000 years ago by the ancient Nabataeans. It was lost to the Western world for hundreds of years until its rediscovery in 1812. If you've seen Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Petra's treasury building was filmed as a location that held the Holy Grail. It's an amazing place. While I was there, though, I became convinced that the Lord was not my keeper. My New Testament professor decided that I should ride a donkey up the mountain to see the monastery. Now, that donkey's name was Monif, and he was a white, sturdy-looking animal, and I was assured by the Bedouins that he could handle a big man. Now, this wasn't just any old little meandering mountain stroll. It was up 850 steps that were carved into the side of a mountain hundreds and hundreds of years ago. On one side of us was a drop of several hundred feet, and on the other side was just the wall carved into the side of the mountain. The path was so narrow that Monif and I barely fit, and he pinned my left leg between himself and that mountain wall. Now, I never thought I'd say this, but thank God I'm an amputee. Because when Monif pinned my leg against that wall, it ripped my pants and tore huge gashes in my prosthetic leg. I can't imagine what would have happened if I'd had a real leg. Clip-clop, clip-clop, up we went. I'm not sure who was more terrified, me or Monif. About halfway up, the guide stopped us and had me dismount Monif because he said my saddle was loose. Now, when I say saddle, I'm exaggerating just a little bit, because it was really just a few blankets, a metal holding bar, and a leather strap holding it all together. But at any rate, when I dismounted Monif, the whole thing swung around under his belly, and I nearly had a stroke. From where would my help come? I don't want to die falling off a donkey down a desert mountain. I wanted to see the monastery, but I was beginning to wonder if the Lord was my keeper, like Cain was Abel's keeper. Once the saddle was repaired, we resumed our trek up the hill. Clip-clop, clip-clop, we kept ascending. I remained terrified and recited just about every prayer-type utterance I could muster. Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Now, I'm not joking when I'm telling you this was the most terrifying experience of my whole adult life. Getting my left leg amputated was a piece of cake compared to this craziness. I remember thinking how funny it was that I was going to die on a trip with the seminary following the advice of my New Testament professor. I surely doubted that the Lord was my keeper in those hills. My help comes from the Lord? Do you ever struggle to trust God? The disciples did. They thought that the Lord, the Messiah, had died on a cross and left them forever. They doubted Jesus' calling on their lives because they thought he was dead. They even doubted when the resurrected Lord was standing right in their presence. Now, can you imagine standing there, literally having a conversation with Jesus, having him tell you to look at his hands and his feet and thinking, nope, this has got to be a ghost. Mm-hmm. It can't really be Jesus. The disciples still doubted.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But luckily for the disciples and for us, Jesus is incredibly patient. Instead of calling them fools for their unbelief, he tried to show them the truth. He invited them to touch to see that he was real. They still doubted the Lord was their keeper. They still doubted his call on their lives as disciples. So what does Jesus do with this dumbfounded group of doubting disciples? Does he cast them aside and search for people who have stronger faith and call them to discipleship? Does he preach hellfire and brimstone to them because they dared to doubt? Did he wow them with some bold miracle to remove all their doubt and restore their sense of calling and all in one fell swoop? Nope, being a man after my own heart, or my own stomach rather, Jesus asked them if they had anything to eat. He sat down at the table with them for breakfast. And it was there, eating together as disciples, that the risen Lord began to teach them. They were still in disbelief, but they also became filled with joy. Joy because they were in the presence of the Lord, just sharing a simple meal together. While they talked and ate, Jesus reminded them of their shared ministry together. He reminded them of their call to discipleship. He reminded them of the teachings in the Bible. Even the disciples, who were in the physical presence of the risen Christ, even them, they needed refreshers. Then, through fellowship, teaching, and eating, Jesus opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. He opened their minds. Did you notice that the Scripture doesn't tell us that Jesus removed all of their doubt? The Scripture doesn't tell us that the disciples had 100% faith and were completely certain of their calling. No, Jesus simply opened their minds. Having that open mind to faith was enough. Having the open mind for faith was enough for Jesus to call them to go and proclaim the gospel to all nations. The disciples were witnesses to Christ's message. The Lord was their keeper. I wonder if we, like the disciples, ever doubt Jesus' call in our own lives. Being the prayerful and pious Presbyterians that we are, we sometimes think that we're our own keepers, don't we? We have things figured out perfectly. We're so wrapped up in work, though, running kids around to sports practice and running errands, that we don't take enough time to dwell in the presence of the Lord. Every day it seems to be work, run, repeat. Work, run, repeat. As we keep on with this business of busyness, I wonder where we find time to dwell in the presence of the Lord. Where do we find time to spend in worship and in prayer and in fellowship at the table? Without these things, our doubt of our true calling, our doubt that the Lord is our keeper, it grows. Like the disciples, we begin to doubt the Lord's calling in our lives. We tell the Lord, I'm not good enough to follow your call in my life. Yes, I know you fed 5,000 people with a few loaves and fishes. Yes, I know you rose from the dead. Yes, I know these things. But you've obviously made a mistake by asking me to do that, Lord. I can't teach. I can't sing. I can't lead. I can't be a caregiver. From where will my help come? We might often say something like, Lord, I need a sign to prove to myself and to others that I really am supposed to be doing this ministry in the world today. I need to see your hands and your feet. Yes, I know that those who are hungry and need to eat. Yes, I know that there are people in my community that need clothing. And yes, I know that my friends and my neighbors need someone to share the love of Jesus with them. But surely, surely someone has made a mistake. Lord, please, please send someone else. Is the Lord still our keeper? When we realize the Lord is our keeper, that the Lord protects us and guides us, we also realize that we lose a certain degree of independence. Submitting to the Lord's keeping is hard work. Hard work because we want to be totally in control of our own lives. We want to take care of ourselves. But not accepting that the Lord is our keeper, though, it creates doubts in us. We doubt our call to discipleship. We doubt we can climb that mountain. We doubt our calling as Christians. We doubt because we know we can't do it alone. We doubt that the Lord is our keeper. Friends, I'm here to tell you, though, the good news is that we don't have to doubt the Lord. The Lord is our keeper. As Christ told us in Scripture this morning, you are witnesses to these things. You've seen them. Monif and I are still alive. The disciples responded to Christ's call to proclaim the good news to all nations. And you are called to share Christ's love with each other and those outside these walls, in this place, at this time. Our help comes from the Lord. The Lord is our keeper. Amen.
Amen.